It is very humbling and very thankful to be back in the pulpit this morning. I've been away for a couple of weeks, as you all know, not in this pulpit. Had a wonderful vacation with my family, my biological family. It was a good time of refreshing, and it was a good time of ministry to my family. So I praise God for that, but I'm thankful to be back. And I was so ministered to by Elder Nick's preaching last Sunday and the Sunday before as I listened. And I was very edified by the preaching I heard down in Florida. And I remember who I was talking to, but I really am edified when I'm able to sit in the pews and be ministered to in that way as well. And so I was very thankful for that. Very thankful to Elder Nick's diligence in preaching the word and proclaiming the gospel. I'm very excited and humbled to be in front of you again, preaching God's word, dividing it, equipping and edifying this body, calling sinners to repentance, and equipping saints for the work that we have. We just talked about this a little bit ago, and we spent prayer time on this, but there are some people listening on the CD and on the internet that I want to mention again the two rewards that we just received in this local assembly, as we had Peter Bradley Zude born at 4:47 Friday morning, and Rachel Jean Bolkema was born last night at 9:55 p.m. So in the last 2 days, we've had two more rewards or blessings that God has bestowed. And as I talked about before, I'm so thankful and humbled to be part of a local assembly who understands Psalm 127, 3-5, that says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate." We have an assembly with lots of young families who completely trust God's word in how they live out their lives. They believe that children are a reward, and they believe that their quiver ought to be full of the arrows of children, and they are living consistent with that in complete trust of the Lord. And I am, as I prayed about earlier, every one of us thought differently at some time. I don't know if anyone in here at one time didn't think we ought to limit the number of children that we have. And I mutilated my flesh so that I would not have any more children when I was not a saved man. Praise God for His grace in our lives that has, it's very normal for us to hear babies crying. Maybe someday we'll get them a little less crying, but we hear many babies crying in this congregation. To the glory of God, we keep seeing more blessings, more rewards. And the culture we live in would tell us that we're crazy. They would say, "That's enough kids." Because they don't see children as a reward. They see them as a burden. I praise God we don't see children as a burden, but we see them as a blessing, and we live in accordance with that. All glory to God. This morning, our text from the Holy Scriptures is Romans 1, 5-7. And since it's been a few weeks since we've been in this, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 and then read 5 through 7. So everyone, please turn to Romans. If you don't have your Bibles, there's some on the shelf. As we've encouraged you, and I haven't done it for a while, have your Bibles, have them open, take notes, write them, be engaged. Be engaged in the discussion that you might learn. When I get to sit there when Elder Nick or Elder Cal's preaching, or when I was down in Florida, I don't have room on my note-taking guide to make all the notes that I get to make. Because I'm so being built up and edified, I would encourage you all to be engaged. We're going to talk about it this morning, but you're commanded to be engaged. So have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, specially called, as we'll talk again about today, to be an apostle, a messenger, separated to the one true gospel, of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Not a new gospel. The gospel has been around forever. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been around forever. The Holy Scriptures contain this view towards Christ that's always been there. And Paul says, I'm not preaching a new gospel. I'm preaching a gospel that was promised beforehand in the Old Testament by the prophets. Through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Scriptures point to Christ, Paul says. All the Scriptures point to Christ, not a new message. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christos Kyrios, who was born of the seed of David, he was fully man, and declared to be the Son of God with a power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of dead. So he was fully man, of the seed of David, and he was fully God, and that was proven when he was resurrected from the dead. Now, verse 5, through him, Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing we see here in this text is God's sovereignty and Paul's apostolic calling. God's sovereignty and Paul's apostolic calling. This God's sovereignty is a truth that's found everywhere in Scripture. And we're going to see it again here. Paul says, through him. Through whom? Jesus Christ. Who the gospel of God is all about. Through him, we apostles have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Grace came via Jesus Christ from God the Father. The grace that saved Paul and the other apostles and gave them their ministry was from God. Grace was received. God granted grace. He poured out grace onto the apostle Paul's life for salvation and the other apostles, and he called them into the ministry that he called them into. God grants grace to sinners. God grants grace to sinners through Jesus Christ. He saves them and he adopts them by that grace. We, apostles, have received that apostleship through that grace. Paul was one of the apostles that God used to build his church. We've looked at this a little bit, but we're going to look at it a little bit more again today to keep getting this into our minds, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. So this grace that had been poured out into the apostle Paul's life, that saved him, and then that gave him his calling as an apostle. Here it is. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So he's talking to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, 19, and he's saying, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're citizens with the other saints and members of the household of God, your brothers and sisters. Having been built on what? On the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Paul and the other apostles and prophets were charged with building the church on the doctrines of Jesus himself. So this apostleship, the we here, because there's some confusion sometimes in some commentaries you might read, or the we is not all believers, it's through him we have received grace and apostleship, because not everyone's an apostle like we talked about. The apostle, and so Paul is setting up in this letter this differentiation of roles. He's writing to the saints and the believers in Rome, but he's saying, we've been given a different calling to apostleship by the grace of God. So having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, the apostles were given by Jesus himself the task to call sinners to repent and to be obedient to the faith. We have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Sinners from all nations. So those apostles had received this apostleship to go out and command people to be obedient to the faith. Ephesians 3, 3 through 7. There's a second function that apostles filled. It's there in Ephesians 3, 3 through 7. How by that by revelation he made known to me, Paul, the mystery of the Old Testament that pointed to Christ, the mystery of the Messiah, the mystery of the salvation, what's long been hidden, he revealed that to me, Paul says. As I've briefly written already, by which you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, you're about to see it. You're seeing it. You're going to keep seeing it. I have this special revelation that God's given me, and God, Paul says, shown me the mysteries of Christ. Me, one of the apostles, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Paul was one of the holy apostles and prophets that received revelation from God. They were then to go proclaim that revelation, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effecting working of his power. So Paul and the apostles and prophets had been, there's three functions. So far we've seen two of them. One was they were to lay the foundation. They were to lay the foundation of the church, with Jesus Christ being the doctrines of Christ, or the truth of Christ being that cornerstone. And the second thing, they were to receive, they did receive, and then to declare the revelation of God's word. So they received special revelation that they were to declare. And they declared it by speaking, and then they declared it by writing, didn't they? So that we would have it. So the apostles spoke and wrote this special revelation that they had received from God. There was a mystery for all the ages. And then they spoke it to their contemporaries, and they wrote it that we would have it. See, that apostolic calling was very necessary. There's no need for an apostolic calling anymore. There are no more apostles, because the apostles had a job, and it was to lay the foundation of the church. That's been laid. Now we're building on it. And then they were to receive special revelation from God and declare it, which they have done. And then there was a third role, if you will, of the apostles in the apostolic era, was to give confirmation that the word that they had received was true, and they gave confirmation by signs and wonders. So something else the apostles did through the grace of God. Acts 2:43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. The apostles did signs and wonders. They had a special power given to them by God to do miracles and wonders, signs and wonders, so that fear would come upon people, the fear of the Lord. So their message would be, their message would be proven to be from God. It confirmed what they were saying was the revelation. 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished, which were signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Through Jesus Christ, the apostles, Paul saying, we apostles, through Jesus Christ, have received grace unto salvation and grace unto this calling, this apostleship, to lay the foundation of the church, to receive God's revelation and declare it, write it and speak it, and to confirm that word by the signs and the wonders that they did. And Paul was one of those apostles, and he's setting up again to say, I've received, we apostles have received this apostleship through Christ from God. And that's my role, said Paul. My role is to lay the foundation of the church. My role is to receive God's word from him and declare it and to write it. And my job is to do signs and wonders to confirm that very word. And Paul says, that's who I am. That's who I am, Paul was saying. And again, we looked at this in more detail a few weeks ago, if you want to go back and listen. But remember, the apostles were specifically called to apostleship by Jesus, right? They witnessed Jesus. They saw the resurrected Jesus. They all witnessed the resurrected Jesus. The original 12 were originally called by Jesus early in his earthly ministry, remember? Mark 3:13, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. So out of all this group of disciples, people following him, this multitude, he grabbed out the 12 that he wanted, and he went up there and he anointed them or appointed them as his apostles, the special 12. Now, then we see in Acts where Matthias replaced Judas. Matthias, who had also seen the resurrected Jesus, replaced Judas. There was this spot for 12, but of course Judas was out because Judas had betrayed Jesus and Judas was dead by now. So in Acts we see where Matthias became one of those apostles. Therefore, one of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we see the original 12, and then Judas out and Matthias in, of this special call to apostleship that Paul's talking about. People cannot claim to be apostles now. There's no such thing. There's no necessity for apostles. The foundation's been laid, the revelation's been given and proclaimed, and those signs and wonders that proved or confirmed that message are no longer necessary. Then we see Paul calling himself an apostle, just like the 12 in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 7, after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Paul affirms that he had seen the risen Jesus, but last of all. Remember, he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, much later than the 12 saw Jesus resurrected. But Paul did see the resurrected Jesus. Jesus himself showed himself to Paul and gave Paul a specific calling. Acts 9:15, 16, God speaking to Ananias, describing Saul. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul was a chosen vessel by Christ himself. So in his letter to the Romans, in this one little section, he just told them who he was. "I am Paul, and I am an apostle, and I have special purposes as an apostle, and those were given to me via Jesus Christ from God by grace, and that's who I am," is what he's just said. So, he had an apostolic ministry that he went out and did. Now, Paul goes on now to address the Roman readers of who they are in Christ. First, he says they are called of Jesus Christ. Called of Jesus Christ. He says, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship, we apostles, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." We have received this apostleship to go out and call people to obedience to the faith for his name. "Among whom you also are the called of Jesus." So out of the nations that we were to go to proclaim this gospel of God about Jesus Christ, you're among those nations. So among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So you readers are part of what my apostolic ministry was, Paul said, and the other apostles, that was to preach this gospel of God about Jesus Christ, which has been in the scriptures for all time, and you are among those, but you're not the only ones, but you're among those that have heard that message and are called of Jesus Christ. obedience to the faith that comes from the call of the gospel. So the Greek word of called is kletos, or kletos. Kletos. And kletos means to be called, implying relationship and or task. Invited by God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain eternal salvation. So this call is the gospel. It's the proclamation of the gospel where one is invited to obtain eternal salvation. They're called. So this call has gone out from Paul and the other apostles to them, possibly at Pentecost, by the way, because Paul hadn't been to Rome yet, but at Pentecost there would have been people from all over. So this call has gone out from the apostles to them, and those who responded to the call in faith are now of Christ Jesus. So that call went out, the gospel, and some responded in faith to that call. And now they are of Christ Jesus. Of Christ Jesus. Of equals belong to would be a better way of that being translated. In the West, this passage reads, among whom you also are divinely summoned ones belonging to Jesus Christ. So that of really means belonging to. And that's important. Paul is letting his readers know that if they responded to the call of the gospel of God in faith, then they now belong to Jesus Christ. They are of Jesus Christ. So if you have responded to that call, that gospel call, and you have responded to that in faith, then you belong to Jesus Christ. Make sense, Julie? You belong to Jesus Christ because you responded to the gospel call. So now you are of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling these Roman readers. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Beloved, we belong to Jesus Christ. We were purchased. So if we responded to the gospel call, the gospel message, if we responded to that call in faith, to be obedient to the faith, then we belong to Jesus Christ. We're not our own. Making sense? We believed on Jesus Christ. We believers, we children of God, we believed on Jesus Christ. Now we belong to Jesus Christ. So in faith, I responded to the gospel call and I believed on Christ. Not just in him in a mental ascent. I believed on Christ and all that he is. And when I believed on Christ, as I responded to that call, then I belong to Christ. I'm not my own. Okay, Paul goes on to tell the Roman Christians more about themselves in this greeting. Beloved of God, called to be saints. Beloved of God, called to be saints. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. All of you who belong to Jesus Christ, that is true because you are beloved of God. Because God loved you, that's why you belong to Jesus Christ. The Greek word for beloved is agapetos, which is the same root word as agape. It means beloved, esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love. This is an amazing thing if you think about it. We belong to Jesus Christ because God loves us. We responded to that gospel call in faith because God loves us. See, and this is another of those places where you can deduce that God doesn't love all people in the same way. Common grace, but love, the love that people want to claim God has for those that respond to the gospel call in faith. That's who he loves. He's telling these Roman readers, you're beloved by God. God's love has been poured out on them via the gospel call that they responded to by faith. Now, in case you're getting thinking man's choice in this, it's not. How did they respond to that call in faith? By God's grace. Okay, but the reality is that because God loved Cal, the gospel call went out. Cal responded to that call to repentance and obedience to the faith because God loved him and poured his grace out, so Cal then responded to that. And now Cal belongs to Jesus Christ. Beloved or beloved is a very special term. I often use that term when I preach to you and I'm speaking to you as beloved. I want you to know, for me, that's a very rich, meaningful word. I don't just say that lightly. You know, Brenda, the fact that you're beloved is very humbling when you think about that. God loved you. That word says worthy of love, favorite, dear, esteemed, beloved. Were you worthy of love? Of course you weren't. Was I worthy of love? Of course I wasn't. Sarah, Tyler, Jeffrey, you're not worthy of love. But if God loves you, you will respond to the gospel call. And then you will belong to Jesus Christ. But it's not because you're worthy of love. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We see this word called again. Kletos again. There's this call that goes out any time that sinners are commanded to turn from their sin. Every time I say repent and turn from your sin, I am giving a command to everyone in this room. I am commanding you, Jeffrey, to repent and turn from your sin. I have just made a gospel call. You're a sinner separated from God. You need to respond in faith and come under the authority of Jesus Christ. I am giving a gospel call. And if Jeffrey's to respond to that, then he's loved by God and he will belong to Jesus Christ. But the call doesn't get responded to by everyone, does it? Not everyone responds to the call in faith. So this is a general call. A general call gets made anytime the gospel gets preached. But it's not effectual on everyone. It only has effect on those that God has chosen from before the foundation of the earth. But a general call is being made. Now, he's saying here, called to be saints. That's an effectual call. To the saints, it had an effect. So the general call was effectual. So that's the difference between a general call and an effectual call. This general call has been happening since the Old Testament prophets. Look at Isaiah 45, 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. A call to salvation. Were all saved when this general call was made that all the Israelites turn and follow God? No, very few did. 0.1% in Elijah's time. Look at Ezekiel 33:11. If this isn't a call to repentance and a call to salvation, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? That is a general call that the prophet Ezekiel made on behalf of God, calling Israel, all of Israel, to repentance. To turn from their evil ways. But they didn't all respond. The general call only had effect on those that God gave faith to, that he granted them repentance, that he gave them faith. By grace they were saved through faith. So not all responded in faith. Then Jesus came to earth. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus made a general call everywhere he went. And most, it didn't have an effect on. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come drink from me. Come follow me. Repent and turn from your sin. Stop following your own God, you, and follow me. Every time Peter or Paul or any preacher or saint preaches his gospel, there is a call being made. So all those called, are they all saints? No. Only the ones who respond to that call to obedience in faith. Effectual call. When you hear the call, the gospel call, those that respond in faith are called to be saints. But everyone who's called is not called to be a saint. But we don't know who that is, do we? So our job is to go out and call everyone. And then we will see who the called are. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Does that mean he predestined everyone? And everyone gets to make a choice? Kind of sounds like it, right? Those he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. So we see that the call, this general call, does not have effect on everyone, because everyone who hears the gospel is not going to be justified and glorified, are they? The only ones who have this special call, the effectual call, which is what we're seeing here in Romans. Okay, back to the text. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, effectually called to be saints. What are those who are effectually called to be? They're called to be saints. We've talked about this many times, but a saint in our thinking, and around here this isn't true because we've heard this enough times, but the Roman Catholic Church has made us believe that saints are special people. This letter was written to all the believers in Rome by the Apostle Paul, who was carrying out an apostolic ministry and saying, I'm writing this to you, saints, all y'all believers. So if you have responded to the call by faith, you belong to Jesus Christ, and you are a saint. The word for saint is hagias. Hagias. And it means set apart for God. To be, as it were, exclusively His. To worship and serve Him. Called to be set apart for God. Set apart from the rest of humanity for special use. This is a big deal what a saint is. A saint is called to be set apart from the rest of humanity for special purposes. To serve Him. This word hagias is also the root of the word for sanctify, hagiazo. We are set apart to serve God. Now, this morning we're going to look at some roles of a saint. This is not an all-inclusive listing of what saints' roles are, but it sums up a lot of it. So here's roles of a saint in Christ's church. And I want to spend some time, and I really want us to listen here. Because Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he's telling them who he is. He's setting up he's the apostle and talking about his apostolic ministry, and he's letting them know who they are. They are among those that have been called and have responded in faith that now belong to Jesus Christ, that are called to be saints. First role of a saint in Christ's church, to be holy. The word itself means holy. The word itself is translated as holy. When you see the word Holy Spirit, it's Hagias Pneuma. Okay, anytime you see the word holy in your Bible, that word is actually Hagias, the exact same Greek word that's saints. So saints, a role of a saint is to be holy. Saints and holy are the same word. We are to be set apart. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us, who the us is the saints. In verse 1 of Ephesians 1, he says to them, saints. Just as he chose saints in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are to be different, special, not like all of the other people. Our conduct must be different. We need to listen to this, because the definition of a saint is holy. And if you belong to Jesus Christ because you responded to the gospel call by in faith, then you are holy. And we mustn't live like other people. We can't just be a normal fork. We're a fork that was set aside just for sacrifices. We're different. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, who called you? Jesus Christ. You also be holy in all your conduct. In all your conduct. We are commanded to be set apart and serve and worship God in all our conduct. Everything we do. Saints will not live in a manner that has them look like those around them. Listen. Be encouraged. Be spurred on here, beloved. Too many of our lives look just like the next guy down the street. We are to live differently. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were hagiasso. You were sanctified. You were set apart. Same root word. You were hagiazo. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. We won't and can't continue the way we used to live when we are called as saints. We are not allowed to hold on to just a couple of our sins. We are saints. We are holy. We cannot look like the world around us. We cannot just become a polished up, better version of what we used to be. Well, I still swear, but I swear a lot less. Not acceptable. Well, I still drink, but I drink a lot less. No, you don't. Well, I'm addicted to many things, but I'm addicted to less things. No, you're not. You can't be and you won't be. Because that's not what a saint is. Do not be deceived. This list of folks will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can't even be in partnership with sin. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We use this lots. We talk about marriage, don't we? A believer should never marry a non-believer. But it's not just about marriage. This is a general, this isn't talking about marriage in this passage that he's writing to the Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You are holy. You are set apart. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. If you are called to be a saint, if the gospel proclamation had an effect on you, then you must come out from the unclean life and live holy. That's what a saint is. Be encouraged and exhorted and reproofed, beloved. Don't resist God's word. Be transformed by it. Stop tolerating your sin. Stop tolerating your relationships with sinners. It doesn't mean we go out of the world, right? We're not taught we can't be in relationship with non-believers, because then how will we spread the gospel? But we're not to be yoked together. We're not to be pulling the same plow. So saints are to be holy. Next, we'll see that saints are to be equipped. Saints are to be equipped. Now, this is a very practical part of today's sermon. So I hope you'll listen and have your minds transformed to know God's will for you in this area. We've talked about this a little bit in men's study. I want everyone to lock in and listen, because this is the role of a saint. Ephesians 4:11. Everyone turn to Ephesians 4. A few books to the right there. Ephesians 4. We're going to start in verse 11. Now, what we're going to see here is a template of how Christ will build his church. We see a template of how Christ will build his church. He says, and he himself, Christ, gave some to be apostles, like Paul and the other 12, right? Some prophets, like Agabus and those other early prophets that were out there telling the message of the apostles. Some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers. Jesus gave some to be pastors, teachers. His method of building his church includes pastors, teachers. And that's Christ's gift to the church. Pastors, teachers are given, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What are the elders? What am I standing up here right now to do? What is the gift that I am to the saints? For you to be equipped. For the body to be edified. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Till we all think alike. Because we think like Christ. Of the Son of God and the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. The gift of pastor teachers is so the saints can be equipped and built up, so they stop thinking like children, tossed to and fro, every doctrine is the same, nothing matters, who knows, we can all figure ourselves. No, you've been given pastors and teachers to change how you think, to grow you up. So a saint is to be equipped. I have a role. The elders have a role. Our role is to teach, pastor, and shepherd you. Just like the Apostle Paul had an apostolic role that I don't have, I have a role. You saints have a role. They're not the same role. We're to equip you. You have a role as saints. And what is it? To be equipped. The word is katartismos. It means refurbished, rearranged, or adjusted. You are to be refurbished, rearranged, and adjusted in how you think by pastors and teachers. It is very important that you understand your role. A saint's role in a local assembly is to be equipped by the pastors and teachers. That means when you come in here on a Sunday morning, or a Wednesday evening, or a Wednesday afternoon for you ladies, or a Saturday morning for, what should you be prepared to do? You should be prepared to be equipped. You should be prepared to be adjusted, refurbished, arranged. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Saints are to be filled with the knowledge of God so they may walk worthy. A saint's role is to be filled with the knowledge of His will by pastors and teachers, refurbishing, arranging their thinking. In James, and as we preached through James, we saw that this passage is often taken out of context. It's talking about preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Saints should be quick to listen, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become upset with the teaching they're getting. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Saints are to be swift to listen, slow to speak, learn, and then go be doers of what they hear. Saints are to do a lot more listening than talking. And then go do what you've heard. How do you do it taking on the role of a saint? Do you listen through the filter of you? Do you hold on to what you want to hold on to? Or are you eagerly wanting to be equipped, refurbished, retrained in how you think by the pastor's teachers? That's the role of a saint. A saint is to be equipped by pastors, teachers. That's the role of a saint. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He just talked about that in Ephesians, that you're no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that your minds be transformed, that you can test the will of God. Your role is to come in every Sunday morning ready to have your minds shaped so you can be equipped. Your role is not to concern yourself with the order of service. Your role is not to concern yourself with the length of service. Your role is not to concern yourself with our prayer time. Your role is not to concern yourself with crying babies. Your role is to come in and sit and be ready to be equipped. That's your role. Come in ready to have your mind transformed. How many of us ready ourselves? How many of you ready yourselves every Sunday in that manner? Be encouraged. Be exhorted. Be reproofed. That's how you should come in here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Wednesday noon or a Saturday morning, or into the meetings that I have with all of you, or Elder Nick or Elder Cal. When you come into a meeting, you should come in not ready to argue your point and hang on to your sin, but to come in and be ready to have your mind transformed, that you would learn, that you would go out and do what you hear. And I understand how the pushback comes in some of you in here right now, and certainly in the world out there. Way too much power to man. Well, then you're arguing with God's church structure that says you are to be equipped by pastors and teachers. You are to be refurbished, arranged, adjusted in how you think. That's your role. Hebrews 13:17, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Who is that? That's Elder Cal, Elder Nick, and myself. Whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Down to verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The role of a saint is to voluntarily place themselves under the authority of their pastors, teachers, and obey what they are taught. That's what the role of a saint is. It's an extremely important role. The role of a basketball player is to do what a basketball coach says. He needs to come to practice every day ready to learn what the coach is going to teach him and to go out and execute that so that they can have success on the basketball court. And if every player, which happens on most bad teams, comes in with his own idea and wants to argue for the way he wants to run the plays, it's not going to be a very effective team, is it? See, my role's different. 1 Timothy 4:13. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy. And Timothy, as you read the two epistles to Timothy, Timothy was the pastor, teacher, in Ephesus. And Paul is writing to him to encourage him as the pastor, teacher in Ephesus. And here's what he says. Till I come, Paul says to Timothy, until I come back, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Timothy, you as a pastor teacher, you are to read the scripture, you're to challenge people to apply the scripture to their lives, and you're always to give attention to proper doctrine. That's your job. Your job is not to have the saints equip you. Your job is to preach the word, read the word, exhort people, challenge them to apply it to their lives, and to always pay careful attention to the doctrine. That's my job. That's Elder Nick's job if he's preaching or teaching or shepherding. That's Elder Cal's job. That's our job to do that. That's our charge. More of Paul's instruction to pastor teacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He says this to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You've learned these things, Timothy, from me. You've learned these things from the Holy Spirit. You've learned these things from Scripture. Now you pay attention to them. Continue in them. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is to equip you. And Timothy, you need to make sure you give them the word of God to equip them. He says in verse chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, Paul says, who will judge the living and dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, whether it's popular or unpopular, convince, rebuke, exhort with all patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful, pastor, teacher, Timothy. In all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy, as a pastor, teacher, had a role. I and the elders, as pastor, teachers, we have a role. That is to preach and teach the truth. You saints have a role to listen and learn and have your minds transformed. Which role is more important? What you might think is yours, Pastor. Yours is more important. You've really got to make sure you prepare right, and you really got to make sure you're rightly dividing, and you really got to, and that's absolutely true. And I need to be careful with the doctrine. I need to read scripture. I need to exhort. But if I do that perfectly, which isn't going to happen, but if I do that to the glory of God, and you all aren't taking on your role, to have your minds transformed, will it have any effect? I was talking to Kirsten yesterday, Sam Allen. Sam Allen is the CEO of John Deere. He has a role. The guy over there at East Moline plant putting tractors together, if that's what they do, wherever they put tractors together, the guy on the assembly line has a job to do, doesn't he? He has a role. How effective is Sam Allen going to be in his role without these people building tractors? They don't even need him, do they? Who needs a CEO if you don't build tractors? Flip side of that is, don't they need some direction on how to build tractors? Different roles, just as important as one another. No difference is important. So we look at it like Sam Allen workers. Unless you're a worker, then you look at it like workers and Sam Allen. Equal roles, just as important, but it's a different role. So if John, an assembly line worker, comes in and he's going to start to try to run Deere, it's not going to work so well. And if Sam Allen leaves his post to run that organization and comes down just to do tractors, it's not going to run so well. There's a structure to the church, and God's given us roles, and the quicker we embrace those roles, the more effective we're going to be at spreading the gospel. So remember your role. It's an extremely important role. In humility, in lowliness of mind. Listen, in lowliness of mind that you come to be taught. Because if you hold your opinions in high esteem, of high value, you're not ready to be taught. You're ready to argue. You're ready to fight for your thinking. You're ready to not quite be all in. Right, Brother Paul? We're not quite all in because we're holding on to the way we think. That's not your role. Saints are to be holy. They are to be equipped. Equipped to do what? To do ministry. All of this equipping, changing of the mind, not staying like children, tossed to and fro, is to do ministry. Verse 12 of Ephesians 4, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. For the work of what ministry? 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Because we've been reconciled, saints, because you've been reconciled to God through Christ, now you have that ministry to go out and reconcile people to God through Christ. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God it was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, saints, you are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Pleading with people to be right with God through Jesus Christ. The ministry of spreading the same gospel by which you were called, and by faith you responded to be obedient to the faith. That same gospel, you're to be out spreading. You need to be equipped to go do that. You need to be holy. You need to be shepherded and taught to go do that, to be equipped to go do that ministry. Saints have work to do. See, and it seems to me we need to grow in this grace. It seems to me we at times can have a lot more of pastor elders teaching and preaching than saints doing. A lot more time spent on sin management than on saints doing. Look, if you're addicted to tobacco and the elders tell you it's idolatry, you stop it. Pretty simple. Not because the elders are God. The elders, we will give account for how we shepherd a soul. And if someone's addicted to anything, then it's an idol. And it needs to be crushed. And instead of spending 6 months arguing about the idolatry, be equipped. Get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us so that we can run this race. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We saints are to work and to labor, seeking and saving that which is lost. What's the work of the Lord? What did Jesus come to do? Seek and save that which was lost. So saints have that work to do. The ministry of reconciliation. We are not saved to say ignorant of who God is, to say ignorant of the gospel. We are saved to profit God, to go out and spread the seed and then the good soils. If you're spreading seed and you are a good soil, then you will produce more fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's your role. We were telling the Minimus Bible study, again, it's one of these things, and we need to grow in this grace, all of us. We are to be equipping you. You are to be out there doing the ministry. Not sitting back and saying, well, that's the elder's job. Let them talk to them. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we, saints, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We have work to do, saints. And you need to be equipped to do that work. Saints are to be holy, to be equipped to do ministry. That's the role of a saint. The role of a saint is vital to Christ building his church. Embrace it. Embrace the role. Some of you are sitting there right now fighting the role. Some of you right now have thousands of things spinning through your head that you're trying to make this all wrong. Because you don't like the way it sounds, because somehow it's beneath you. And some of you are sitting here very affirmed because you are being taught and equipped by the pastors and teachers, and you are going out and doing that ministry under their guidance, and you're being very affirmed. Which one are you right now? Be holy, be equipped, do the work of the ministry. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Paul then closes out his initial greeting with these familiar words, grace and peace. Grace and peace. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in October of last year when we were preaching the very first sermon in Philippians, I covered this quite well, so you can go back and listen to that if you want to have a deeper teaching on this. So I'm not going to repeat it all, but this phrase that's used by Paul here, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, many of you, Donnie greets you that way now. Because that day I said, why don't we greet each other that way? Paul greets the saints this way in almost every epistle. Paul says to the saints, grace, charis. It means grace of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ. So that's grace. He saves us through his grace. Then, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. Paul says, may God's grace give you the power to live out your call as beloved saints. You're going to need it. May he pour it out upon you, and may you rely upon it. Peace. Irene. Irene means peace, harmony, tranquility, freedom from worry. Paul says, may the peace of God rest on you as you live out his high calling of sainthood. You're going to need the grace and the peace to carry out this calling that you have. And so Paul prays that over them or speaks that over them. Beloved, you're going to need God's grace and his peace to take on your role as a saint. And I pray you'd be growing in that grace and you'd be feeling that peace. Remember, we talked about there is no peace. There is no peace if you're not living in God's grace. In other words, if you're not being transformed, if you're not relying on God's power to be different, you will have no peace. You will not have any peace as you hold on to a couple of sins. And you will not be an effective minister. You will not be an effective ambassador. Try it on in your life. See if that's not true. So Paul says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Closing thought. God's people are divinely summoned to be saints. Saints have specific functions in Christ's church. Are you diligently living out your duties as a saint? If not, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and actively participate in the work you are to do as one belonging to Christ. I just said this before, but some of you should be very affirmed and are very affirmed right now. You can look at your life and you can see where you're being equipped by the pastors and teachers to go out and do the work of the ministry. Others, you are kind of upset right now. You don't like your role. Chris and I were talking about it yesterday. Some of you want to have this role. I would assert you don't want to have this role, but that's a discussion for another day. You have a role. That role is defined. Embrace it. Embrace the role that God has given you. Be holy. Come in ready to be equipped. And then go out and do the work. Hear and then go do. Let's live like saints, beloved. Let's live like saints for God's profit, for God's glory, for Christ's sake. Father, the Apostle Paul identified his role in his apostolic ministry. Father, he differentiated the roles of pastors and teachers and the roles of saints. Father, you have structure. You have structure in family. You have structure in church. You have structure. Father, there is even structure in the chaotic world that lives around us by your grace. Father, help us to embrace that. We are commanded to be holy. Saints are commanded to be equipped, to have their minds transformed, to go out and do the work of the ministry of reconciliation. Father, help this local assembly be faithful in that task, in that calling, in that command, for your glory and Christ's sake. Amen.